95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge, presented by Professional Floor Covering.
It is 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge, and we are here for Community Comment. It is presented by Professional Floor Covering. And speaking of Professional Floor Covering, they are an Abbey Design Center at 713 Park Avenue in Beaver Dam. You can visit their website at proflr.com. And they also offer, they are here to help you design the perfect space with over 1,000 samples of carpet, LVP, hardwood, tile, area rugs, and window finishings. It's so much more than floors. It's a wide selection of kitchen and bathroom countertops, cabinets, tile, shower inserts, and more. They also do tub-to-shower conversions. You can turn your standard bathroom into a luxurious spa with a tub-to-shower conversion. A tub-to-shower conversion can also drastically improve the quality of life for those who have trouble lifting their legs up and over the wall of a standard tub. Now let's jump into the action here on Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV. Here's Terry Bell.
Thank you very much, Jake, and this is Community Comment, and our guest today is Beaver Dam Fire Chief Mike Wesley, and we'll be talking about a number of things going on at the fire department that will affect people all over the city. And Mike, thanks very much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Well, let's talk about something that is ongoing right now, and the city has had one central fire station for a number of years, but now the community is growing to the point where maybe there's a need for a second. Maybe not. That's what you're in the middle of trying to find out at this point.
Yeah, so as part of our capital improvement program for 2025, the city authorized a facility study, and part of that facility study is going to be a GIS component. At the May meet, the first meeting in May, I should say, the presentation on the actual assessment of our current facility was completed. That is available if people are interested in reading it, and I'll give a little plug here. So that's on the city website. So that's ci.beaverdam.wi.gov. If you click on the fire department link, you'll see a highlighted section there that has the actual PDF study in it. That goes over the entire condition of our current facility, what is good about it, what is bad about it. And then it also goes into what they call programming. So it compares what we have to what we need. And so we went through that entire process. The facility lacks a lot of what a modern fire station needs. In addition, it is significantly undersized. So I would have to pull the exact numbers up, but I think we're right now around 26, 27,000 square feet. And the recommendation is for roughly 40,000 square feet. So it didn't come as a surprise to us that work there, but it's probably something that the general public doesn't know, not working in that building on a day-to-day basis. So we went through that whole process. They made their recommendation to council that we move forward with what's called a GIS study. So this study, what they will do is they will take call data from previous years. They will take into account a road system, all of the geography of the city, and they're going to come back with some suggestions. They'll give us suggestions on if we go with a one fire station model, where that would be and what we could expect for response times across the city. They'll also come back with a two station model and the exact same information. And then we can take that information, we can present it to council and have a discussion about how the process moves forward at that point. There has been no decision on actually building anything at this point. There's been no decision made on whether if we did build something, if it would be one firehouse or two firehouses. Again, we're trying to go through the process deliberately, slowly, and instead of just talking and giving opinions and using subjective data, we're going through the process of the GIS because that's going to give us objective data that can help the decision makers make those appropriate decisions.
Sure. You mentioned square footage. What other ways might the current facility not be meeting the needs of the community?
Yeah. So, again, if you want to see the report, it goes into great detail. But we're just deficient on so many different levels. The building was originally built in 1959. It's had several It's had one significant addition that was in 2000. But it's had some remodeling happen over the years. And so what has happened is we've taken on more space in the building because the police department used to be in the building. We've taken on that space, but it's not really designed for us. We've made the best of what we have, but it just doesn't allow us to do some things. Things that we lack, we don't have a locker room, so there's no real private space for our employees to, change their clothes or, go and take a shower without using a shared restroom. So we're real fortunate that of our full-time staff, we have 26 full-time employees on the fire department, and we have a significant number of females on our department. And when I say significant, it's to the point where an open bunk room, we couldn't reasonably have all of our females in the same bunk room and provide them with the privacy needed to change their clothes. And on the other side, the males were, forced to do the same thing. So having that private area is important so that we don't have a locker room. We don't have proper or sufficient bathroom facilities. Our living quarters upstairs are small and cramped. In between eight people, they're sharing one shower and one toilet. So that's something that needs to be addressed. And as you go through the study, you'll see that the suggestion for that number of people is actually, they would suggest three, but two is acceptable by code. That's a big deal is just the space in the living quarters. But when we get actually down on the first floor of the fire station, one of the most significant things that we lack is a proper decontamination area. So our firefighters go, they fight a fire, they're exposed to chemicals and toxins from all of the burning material. Years ago, we didn't worry about it because it was natural fibers, but everything is synthetic now. And so they're exposed to a lot of carcinogens. We bring those back to the firehouse. And the way that we are set up now is we decontaminate, and then we have to walk right back through the contaminated area. And we're also decontaminating on the apparatus bay floor. We don't have a centralized place for that to do it properly. We don't have adequate facilities to wash our gear and our uniforms. So that's a big thing. Cancer prevention is big in the fire service, and that's one thing that is super important. Another thing directly related to that is our gear storage situation. Our gear should be stored off in a separate area where we're not exposing ourselves or anybody that's in the firehouse to our gear because they do carry carcinogens. So that should be in a separate, well-ventilated room. Right now, that's just out on our apparatus floor. So the decontamination part plays a part in that, but our storage of gear is also right next to our apparatus. So when our employees are donning their gear to go to a fire call, there's either a running or moving apparatus right next to them. So that creates a lot of safety concerns. So those are a couple of the significant operational issues. Other issues is just that while our station doesn't have enough square footage, it's poorly designed. It's in the shape of an L. We have areas of the fire station that are more than 140 feet away from the beginning of the apparatus floor. So our turnout times, the time from when the tones go off to when we get out the door, are not where they should be. And that's not due to a lack of effort or anything by our employees. We're just giving them a very poor situation to work in, and that makes it all the more difficult to get out the door in a timely manner.
Hold that thought. I want to talk to you more about that. But first, we have to do this business. We'll be right back on Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
The Beaver Dam Police Charities and Canine Golf Outing is accepting registrations. The event will take place on Saturday, June 21st at Beaver Dam Country Club at 8:30. Your registration includes light breakfast, golf with cart and lunch. It's just $85 per player or $340 for a foursome. For more information, contact Matt at 887-4613, extension 524, or head to the Beaver Dam Canine Unit Facebook page for a link to register online.
At Prairie Ridge Health, our orthopedic and sports medicine team is committed to personalized care that meets your individual needs. From arthritis to complex sports injuries, we treat a wide range of conditions with the latest in both surgical and non-surgical options. We're here to help you move better and feel stronger. Now seeing patients in Beaver Dam, Columbus, and Sun Prairie. Learn more at prairieridge.health. Prairie Ridge Health, inspired by you.
Breathe easier with JB Mechanical's air quality solutions. Say goodbye to dust mites, pet dander, and pollutants in your home. JB Mechanical's team of experts will assess your home's needs and recommend the best solutions to ensure the air you breathe is healthy and safe. A properly designed, installed, and maintained HVAC system can improve your air quality. Poorly done? It can spread dust, allergens, and bacteria. Invest in your comfort today and give JB Mechanical a call. Online at jbmechllc.com. Your proud train dealer.
Are you waiting to get your hail damage looked at or need a second opinion? You don't need to wait. Schultz Auto Body in Beaver Dam has you covered. This is Nick Schultz, and we've partnered with expert hail repair specialists right here at our shop to get your vehicle looking like new with professional paintless dent repair. We have free estimate appointments available immediately and a very quick turnaround on repair. Call 920-885-0500 today to schedule your estimate. Schultz Auto Body, your hometown auto body experts.
Still looking for something for Dad this Father's Day? Stop by Fleet Farm and get him a gift he really wants at the best price guaranteed. Like Columbia apparel and footwear, now 25% off. Or get him a Wildview video trail cam for just $29.99. And what dad wouldn't love a Milwaukee M12 5-tool combo kit for under $200? For these and more last-minute Father's Day deals, stop by your local Fleet Farm or check out our latest weekly ad at fleetfarm.com.
At Preferred Dental Partners, our core values are more than just something we put on our wall. They're something we live out. Core value number one is always be growing. To us, this means we will always strive to be better today than yesterday. At Preferred Dental Partners, we are continually educating ourselves in current research and technology so that we can bring the best dental treatment philosophies and techniques to our patients. We will never be satisfied with the status quo and will constantly strive to grow and be better for you. If you are looking for a dental office that is always growing, call Preferred Dental Partners today.
Providing this community beautiful floors and so much more, the team at Professional Floor Covering can't wait to connect with our friends through today's community comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
It is 95.3 WBEV, and we are back with more community comment. Here's Terry Bell.
Thank you, Jake. We're talking with Beaver Dam Fire Chief Mike Wesley about a lot of things, but right now we're in the middle of a discussion about the facilities that the fire department works with now, how they're meeting our needs and how maybe they could be better. Maybe Beaver Dam, maybe the time has come for two fire stations, maybe not. A study is underway to determine those things. And Mike, we were talking before about, you know, all the different ways, you know, that a building that's getting on, you know, 70 years old, give or take, obviously that would not be great for a great building to work in. But, you know, since you're in the public service business, I guess, how would that matter? You know, if I'm a taxpayer in Beaver Dam, I'm curious to know, well, why, what difference would a new facility make for me if I call 911, I need the fire department to come?
Yeah, so I kind of touched on the general design of the building and the shape. That is one thing that really inhibits our ability to get out the door in a timely manner. As I mentioned before, we have some areas of the fire station that are 140 feet just from the apparatus bay door. But then our apparatus bay is, well, it's not deep, it is long. It's half a city block long. And so it's just... It's just a kind of a design nightmare is the way that I would describe it. And so we're supposed to be, for a fire call, we're supposed to be out the door in 80 seconds. we can't make that happen with the design of the facility now. For EMS calls, we have 60 seconds. We have the benefit of all of our ambulances being located very close to the living quarters and the rest of the fire station. And so we are meeting those requirements, but not by much. And depending on where you are in the building, we will not meet those requirements. So number one is just us getting out the door. And that has to do with the current building. A new building would be designed appropriately so that from every corner of that firehouse, we would be able to get out the door in the required time by the NFPA. The other thing that plays a role in this is response times. The fire station, for anybody that doesn't know, is located 205 South Lincoln Avenue. So we're just off Park Avenue, just outside of downtown Beaver Dam. When this was built, it was built basically in the center of town. But as time has gone on, the city has expanded, and there's significant growth on the north side, and that's why in the past there has been discussion, but no formal study about building a facility on the north side. That's a big role, is where the actual physical building is located. And that's a big reason why we're going through this process of the GIS study, to see if our current location even meets needs, and if not, what would be a better location or locations. Those are the two biggest things that people are going to notice when we go through this. Is maybe it takes 4 minutes for a fire truck to get to my house right now. Is that appropriate? Most people, you know, would probably give a different answer depending on the situation, myself included. But this study will provide us with some great visuals and mapping to give us the correct data we need to make the decisions about moving forward. So those two things, I think, are the most direct things that people will realize when looking at this. Other things that maybe you're not aware of, we've known at the fire department for a long time, but I think word is now getting out because of the study, that the building is just, it's past its useful life. One of the biggest things that we deal with at the firehouse on a daily basis is water infiltration into the building. Whether it's through the roofs, through the floors, we have significant issues in the basement. When we get significant rainfalls, water comes in, it'll flood the area where we have our workout equipment. There's some deterioration of the foundation down there. We have water that comes in through the roof in locations. We have water that actually, because of the design and the topography of the location, it'll overwhelm the storm drains and actually come in underneath garage doors. And so there's just a lot of things like that needing to be repaired and or replaced or a significant upgrade at some point. You know, taxpayers are going to see that. And at the end of the day, repairing this or trying to bring this building up to code, which from our architect's point of view really can't be done. Their belief is that the best thing to do would be not to do a remodel, because one, we're not going to be able to bring it up to code. Two, it's probably going to be just as expensive as building something new. And three, the life expectancy of the building is significantly less if we're going to remodel it than build something else. So those are the recommendations that they're coming back with. All of these either have an impact on our ability to respond and serve the community or, I mean, quite frankly, the pocketbooks of everybody. You know, so if we're going to continue to fix something that's broken, it's going to cost people money, and that's going to have to come from somewhere. And so we want to do the most appropriate thing, provide the best services, but still be cognizant of the tax roll and make sure that we're spending money wisely.
I don't want to put you on the spot, but I was just curious to know whether you had any strong feelings or whether it's appropriate for you at this point to have strong feelings about one or two buildings and where one building would go and where two buildings would go.
Yeah, I mean, I probably in the back of my head have some ideas or suggestions, but I'm trying to stay away from doing what we've done in the past and just talking about subjective ideas. And I'd really like to come back and have a discussion based on the data with the GIS study. There's benefits to having one fire station. There's benefits to having two fire stations. And there are some things about having one fire station I don't like, and there's some things about having two fire stations that I wouldn't be excited about. You know, building that second facility would really change the way that we have to operate, and it would be a lot of work on our part as the fire department to go through that transition. And so at this point, I'm trying to stay a neutral party and let the data do the talking, because you know, if I come out now and I say we need one thing, it's just my opinion, right? I know I have experience and I've done this for a long time, but I really want to let the data talk.
And when is the GIS study due to be completed?
Yeah, so we're in the early stages of it. So we're hoping later this summer it'll be complete, and the Five Bugles will come back and present that to council.
Okay, so September, October?
Yeah, I would suspect before September. I'm hoping by the end of July we'll have that. So we don't have our first view at the data until later this month or early in July. And so a lot of it will depend on how the data comes back and then what all we're going to want included in that report. So,
and that's when the political discussion begins, taking a look at all the kind of objective data that is being gathered right now.
Yes, yes.
Very good. You're listening to Community Comments on 95.3 WBEV. We're talking to Beaver Dam Fire Chief Mike Wesley. We'll be right back after these messages. Okay.
The weather is warming up, so kick back in your lawn chair and tune into the Dam Sports Show for spring sports coverage. The Green and Gold closing on training camp after what many would consider to be a successful draft, but what else do they need to accomplish before training camp to put themselves back into that Super Bowl conversation? We follow the crew as they get into NL Central play, and for boots on the ground reporting of Beaver Dam High School spring athletics, you know what to do. Tune into the Dam Sports Show weekdays from 4 to 5 p.m. on Daily Dodge TV, 1430 ESPN, and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Thinking about selling your home in 2025? Well, unless you have a crystal ball or a time machine, it's best to start planning now. At Kladowski Real Estate, we don't bite, we don't pressure, and we definitely don't make you sign anything in blood. Just a relaxed chat about your real estate questions, dreams, and wants, even the weird ones. Spring market's here, and it's the perfect time to get ahead of the game. At Kladowski Real Estate, people are the priority, and we've got answers, snacks, and probably too many pens. Call today and let's talk real estate. Kladowski Real Estate, your trusted real estate advisors.
Nothing says relaxation like a Slumberland furniture mattress and a radio or speaker with 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge, broadcasting from the Slumberland Furniture Studio.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump announcing a new trade deal with China. The U.S. will get magnets and rare earth minerals from China, and the U.S. will agree to let Chinese students continue attending U.S. colleges and universities. Tariffs on Chinese goods will also be totaling 55%. Inflation picked up a bit last month as higher prices for groceries and some imported goods were offset by cheaper gas, travel services, and rents. Tesla's CEO appears to be backing off his criticism of the CEO of the country.
Elon Musk this morning is expressing some remorse, posting, quote, "I regret some of my posts about President Trump last week. They went too far," though he doesn't say which posts he feels went too far. Musk, of course, spent a lot of last week ripping into the president over his budget bill, his tariffs, even suggesting impeachment and leveling that deeply personal attack, accusing the president of being involved in the Epstein files.
ABC's Mary Bruce, the curfew now lifted in Los Angeles following protests against ICE immigration raids. This is ABC News.
Award-winning news you can count on. WBEV.
I'm Terry Bell. Mayville is seeking public input on how to disperse its disaster relief money after last month's tornadoes. The fund will help support cleanup efforts and any costs not covered by insurance. Mayor Rob Belk says the city has raised about $16,000 so far. An immigration judge says a man who was falsely accused of threatening to assassinate President Trump can be released from the Dodge County Jail. The judge says Ramon Morales-Reyes is not a danger to the public. Homeland Security says it still might pursue an immigration case against him. The Trump administration says charges should not be dropped against a Milwaukee judge accused of helping a man hide from U.S. immigration agents trying to arrest him at the courthouse. Judge Hannah Dugan is trying to have federal charges against her thrown out. Trump administration lawyers say judges are not above the law. Construction on the new swimming pool in Randolph is on schedule. Village President Ken Ireland says they raised about $5.5 million in pledged funds. The project will cost more than $6.5 million. The new Randolph pool is scheduled to open next spring. A reminder to keep your dogs and other pets on a leash if they're not at home. Fines range from $25 to $200. Police say they only tend to ticket repeat offenders. Lieutenant Jeremiah Johnson tells Community Comment that calls about animals at large tend to go up in the summer months. I'm Terry Bell, reporting from the Daily Dodge News Center. Submit your news tips at dailydodge.com.
Sunshine mixed with clouds at times today, with daytime highs approaching 83. Winds out of the west, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Thunderstorms likely. Tonight, lows level off around 58. Cloudy skies expected. Cloudy skies expected. Tomorrow, thunderstorms likely. Daytime highs approaching 71. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge. Right now, it's 74 degrees.
There's power in your smile. Hi, this is Dr. Adam Forster from Columbus Family Dental. Your smile can make or break a day, start a conversation, even double a dose of courage. At Columbus Family Dental, we are committed to protecting your grin from ear to ear. Young and old, orthodontics to cosmetics, we're here to make it that much easier to share your smile. Columbus Family Dental is now accepting every kind of smile. Call us today for a free, no-pressure consultation at 623-5559.
Hello, this is Sandy from McKinstry's Home Furnishings. Year after year, McKinstry's has celebrated each and every Friday the 13th with an incredible sale. This Friday, that tradition continues. At McKinstry's Home Furnishings in downtown Beaver Dam, enjoy incredible savings on every item in every department, with savings of up to 80% off. For example, a Lazy Bar recliner, only $313. A reclining sofa, just $813. Or a two-piece sectional by England Furniture Company, only $1,300. Also, take advantage of no-interest financing for 6 months. Sofas, recliners, mattresses, dining sets, area rugs, accessories, and more are all on sale. McKinstry's will be closed all day tomorrow to prepare for this remarkable event. The Friday the 13th sale, featuring sensational savings at McKinstry's Home Furnishings, celebrating 167 years in downtown Beaver Dam.
Year after year, McKinstry's.
They keep you informed on the Dodge County landscape. We keep the inside of your home looking great. Professional Floor Covering welcomes you to the next segment of Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
It is 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge and Community Comment. And before we get rolling with the next segment here, wanted to remind you that year after year, McKinstry's has celebrated each and every Friday the 13th with an incredible sale. This Friday, that tradition continues at McKinstry's Home Furnishings in downtown Beaver Dam. Enjoy incredible savings on every item in every department, with savings of up to 80% off. For example, Lazy Boy recliner, only $313, a reclining sofa, just $813, or a two-piece sectional by England Furniture Company, only $1,300. Also, take advantage of no-interest financing for 6 months. Sofas, recliners, mattresses, dining sets, area rugs, accessories, and more are all on sale. McKinstry's is closed on the 12th for this remarkable event. The Friday the 13th sale, featuring sensational savings at McKinstry's Home Furnishings, celebrating 167 years in downtown Beaver Dam. And now we will resume here with Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV. Here's Terry Bell.
Thank you very much, Jake. We are back with Beaver Dam Fire Chief Mike Wesley. And we're well into June now, Mike, and this is the time of year where people are spending more time outside recreating and working. And that reminds us it's a good time to maybe talk about Beaver Dam's open burning ordinance.
Yeah, myself included, we're spending a lot of time outside getting the fire pit up and running, making some s'mores. We did that a couple times in the last couple of weeks. So
good stuff.
The kids enjoy it, but Just for all of our listeners today, I guess what I'm going to talk about is pertinent to the city of Beaver Dam. If you live in the town of Beaver Dam or if you live in any of the surrounding townships or municipalities, good time to either stop at the fire station or call the fire station or go online and look up your local burning ordinances if your local municipality has them. The city of Beaver Dam does have an open burning ordinance. Basically, what our ordinance is in relation to is if you would like to burn in your backyard, if you'd like to have a fire pit, a recreational fire, and or cooking fires. So if you're looking to have a campfire in the city of Beaver Dam, that is allowed. There are some requirements that you need to follow, such as being at least 15 feet away from any flammable items and or structures. That's obviously a big one, but there's some other things too that you need to be aware of. The only thing that we allow in the city is the burning of clean, dry firewood. You can't be burning yard waste, leaves, anything that's going to create a nuisance to your neighbors. If so, and we get a call, we will show up and politely ask you to put it out. But when it becomes an issue, that's when law enforcement will get involved and there's possible citations that are given out. We try to avoid that situation, educate everybody. Generally speaking, people simply aren't aware of the ordinance. And so that's how we try to deal with it. So just know if you'd like to have a campfire or if you have a fire pit in your yard, that's totally fine. Just do it smartly. A couple things to consider. Weather. You can go on the DNR's website and there's actually a map that'll tell you what the fire conditions are. Anytime that they are high or anything above high, we recommend that you refrain from burning. Right now, we've had enough rain, everything's pretty good. No issues right now, but the really big thing with weather is the ordinance says any wind over 10 miles an hour you cannot burn. Reason being is that it's going to not only carry the smoke to surrounding areas, but then you have the potential to carry embers and other products of combustion somewhere else and possibly start a fire. So that's what we like to remind you of. Always have an adult present. Again, the ordinance says that you need to have somebody present that's 18 years of age or older. And you also have to have either a garden hose or a fire extinguisher readily available. Those are the main points. We get lots of questions also about grills and grilling safety. Again, anything for cooking, any grills, they're part of the ordinance, giving an explanation of what they are. But we don't restrict anybody from using a grill or using anything actually for cooking purposes. That's not what the ordinance is about. However, that being said, we do run into issues with grills specifically in multifamily dwellings. So apartment buildings, anything that has more than two units, so triplexes, those sort of things. The ordinance does specify as far as multifamily dwellings go, that you need to be at least 10 feet away from that building, whether you're using a propane grill or charcoal, doesn't matter what the fuel source is. So you need to be away from the building and you cannot be on anything that is covered. What do I mean by that? If you have a first floor patio that has another patio or deck above it, you cannot grill on that. If you are on the second floor or third floor, or fourth floor and so on, you cannot have a grill on your deck and or patio. Again, the reason being for that is that you're far too close to the building, and believe it or not, that is a significant source of fire danger there for those facilities. We see far too many, not just in Beaver Dam, but across the state, of apartment fires that are started because people are grilling on decks.
And I imagine the people who are grilling on decks don't always know that they're in any violation of any local ordinance.
Yeah, and that's entirely true. Most of the time, it's just not something that we think about. I can tell you when I was younger, before I was a fireman, I had a grill up on a deck, and the owner of the building came by and said, you can't do that, and never crossed my mind. So a lot of this related not just to the grilling aspect, but the open burning. It's not necessarily something that people are aware of. And so that's why we're here talking about it. Again, we go and we do fire inspections on all of these buildings. If we see grills on decks at apartments, that gets written up and turned into the landlord, and in turn they'll go around and they'll knock on their door and say, "Hey Terry, you know you can't have that there. We, you know, keep it in the garage, and these are the requirements." So it's not malicious in any way. It's just one of those things that that people probably just aren't aware of.
Absolutely. Another thing people may not be aware of is in Beaver Dam, you have to, if you're having a fire pit in your backyard, you have to be burning natural materials because, as you said before, you know, synthetic materials can create a lot of problems.
Yeah, and so the biggest thing with not using natural materials in a campfire, especially in the city, is just the fumes, the smoke, and the smell. We get a lot of complaints throughout the year about campfires and the smoke they're creating. And generally, when we get there, the ones that are creating issues, they'll be burning leaves, or maybe they're burning treated lumber from the deck they just tore out and rebuilt. Those things cannot be burnt. Again, we're looking for natural dry firewood. So anything else outside of that, no leaves, no yard waste, no grass clippings, nothing that has been treated, nothing synthetic. Just good dry firewood.
Fireworks are popular this time of year too, and why don't you remind our listeners about what's okay and what isn't?
Yeah, if you want to get a comprehensive list, that's a good idea for the Beaver Dam Police Department. But as we move into that season, very, very simple. Anything in the city of Beaver Dam that leaves the ground or explodes, not acceptable. I know that's probably not the case in most neighborhoods. If you have issues, you can always call in and report it. But the main reason for not having those allowed is kind of twofold. One, anything that explodes, obviously that creates a danger. You know, kids get their hands on these things and accidents happen all the time. Anything that leaves the ground, we don't know where that's going to go. I can tell you 2 years ago, I went in my backyard, and I do live in the city. I went in my backyard and I picked up a 1 gallon pail full of just leftover exploded fireworks because they landed in my backyard, they landed on my roof, and they landed on my kid's trampoline. Fortunately, they didn't catch anything on fire, but that's what we're trying to prevent. Leave the fireworks to the experts, and we'll leave it at that.
Okay. And any fireworks that are legal and being set off in the city, I'm guessing adult supervision is a big key to safety.
Yep, adult supervision definitely key to safety. The other thing you want to make sure is that you're lighting them off somewhere, such as concrete, gravel. We don't want to be doing it on, you know, dry grass or on a wood patio, anything like that. And then the other thing that's really important is proper disposal. So if you have the ability, it's always a good idea, put them in a 5 gallon pail. When you're done with them, fill it with water, leave it out in the driveway or something overnight. Make sure they soak good before actually disposing of them.
Yeah, that would seem to take care of any. You're just being cautious,
yep.
Extremely cautious, and that's probably a good idea in a lot of cases.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, again, these things happen. A couple of years ago, close to the 4th of July, we had a fire in town where the resident thought that they had properly disposed of charcoal from a grill, and it ended up in a garbage can, and the house started on fire. And just leaving it out overnight or, you know, soaking it would have prevented that. So these things do happen.
Good. Yeah, that's a good point. Charcoal grills. What is the – so you've prepared your dinner and yep. You're ready to go in for the night, but those coals are still out there and they're still glowing red maybe. What should you do?
Yeah, so I personally, what I do is, first of all, my grill is more than 10 feet away from the house, so it's on the edge of our patio, so it's far enough away where it really doesn't cause an issue. But I will let mine burn out, and then I actually have a metal pail that whenever I empty my embers and my ash, it goes in the pail. The pail sits outside, and then I will fill it with water before disposing of it.
We're talking to Beaver Dam Fire Chief Mike Wesley on Community Comment. We're going to take a break and be right back. You're listening to Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
Summer just got a whole lot hotter with the WBEV 95K giveaway presented by Newman Pools and Hometown Glass and Improvement. Join us all summer long at any Brock Fry location from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. and try to crack the code on our prize vault for your shot at winning $95,000. No purchase necessary, must be 18 or older to enter. One winner per household, one entry per person per stop. For complete rules and details and to find a complete Brock Fry schedule, visit DailyDodge.com.
Ribfest is smoking this Thursday at the market at Beaver Dam. Starting at 10 a.m., the market is serving up real deal ribs, hot, ready, and ridiculously delicious. It's just $12 for a whole rack, $7 for a half. And yeah, your fingers, they will get saucy. Don't sleep on it. Once they're gone, they're gone. So bring your appetite, bring your crew, and follow that mouth-watering smell. Ribfest at the market at Beaver Dam, Thursday only, starting at 10 a.m. until they're gone.
Step into a world so fine, shiny floors that truly shine, tiles and wood you'll adore, get it all at Professional Floor. Showers, blinds, counters too, everything just like brand new. They've got what you're looking for, only here at Professional Floor.
Okay, full disclosure, we still don't sing here, but since I've got the mic, let me drop some knowledge. At Professional Floor Covering, we've got the best brands and styles for every project. Whether you're looking for cabinets, blinds, flooring, or more, we're here to make your home look amazing. Check out our showroom to explore our wide range of luxury vinyl plank flooring. Need a bathroom makeover? We've got custom marble and ceramic showers and countertops to elevate your space. And if you're thinking kitchen upgrade, our cabinet and porcelain tile selection is top notch. Take a look online at proflr.com and stop in to visit us at 713 Park Avenue. Time to hand the mic back.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Right now, get a free select tool when you buy the Craftsman V20 2-Pack Battery Kit. Whether it's the backyard, the bathroom, or beyond, Craftsman has the tools to help you power through and get the project done right. Because DIYing is unpredictable, but your tools shouldn't be. Shop Craftsman at Lowe's today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Huge news. Right now at Wendy's, you can get a Son of Baconator for just $3. I don't think you understand this situation. The Son of Baconator is only $3 for a limited time. You know, smoked bacon, rich melted cheese. That Son of Baconator is only $3. Thank you to whoever wished upon that star. For bacon that just won't quit, gotta be Wendy's.
U.S. price and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Alaska and Hawaii, not valid on a combo or in third-party delivery platform.
Providing this community beautiful floors and so much more, the team at Professional Floor Covering can't wait to connect with our friends through today's community comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
And with our last segment for today with community comment, here's Terry Bell.
Thank you, Jake. We're glad you're with us today. We're talking about all kinds of things with Beaver Dam Fire Chief Mike Wesley. And it's an exciting time for your department and the whole city for Beaver Dam, because you're getting some new equipment soon that is really going to help you guys out.
Yeah, we are actually going on Monday to do a final inspection on a new ladder truck for the department. So we're very excited about that.
Yeah, so tell us about, you know, you have different kinds of vehicles, and they each serve their own purpose. It seems pretty self-explanatory, but the ladder truck is, you know, kind of maybe the picture that pops into our minds when we think about fire trucks as people, lay people like me. But what is the job of a ladder truck?
Yeah, so it's actually an interesting question. I think that everybody assumes a fire truck is a fire truck, kind of like, you know, you say you're a football player, but each football player has a specific job to do in each.
Good metaphor.
Yeah, well, thank you. And each type of fire apparatus has a job to do. Basically speaking, a fire engine is a smaller fire truck. It does not have a big ladder on the top, and its main job is to put out the fire. So it carries the hose, it has a pump, the guys get off, they pull the line, they go in and they put the fire out. When you see a ladder truck show up, well, our ladder truck has a pump and it also has hoses, but that's not its primary purpose. Its primary purpose is twofold. One is search and rescue. So when they get off the ladder truck, they go in, and those are the people that actually go, and they will search the home for any occupants. They'll search for pets. They'll do that kind of stuff. Their other main function is going to be ventilation. And so they might be the ones that go on the roof and cut a hole to let the hot gases escape. So there's better visibility. They might knock windows out. And so in the fire service, you know, those are kind of the two main companies. There's definitely other types of units out there. But that's what the purpose of a ladder company and a ladder truck is, in the simplest terms.
So you're replacing the old ladder truck. It's been in service to the city for quite a long time.
Yeah, so coincidentally, in 2000, we got a heck of a deal on buying not just a new ladder truck, but two engines. So we actually have three of our main apparatus are all 25 years old. Two are slated for replacement. The third is down the road a little ways. But we got a great deal on them, and at the time it was great. Replacing them all at the same time, not so fun. It costs a lot of money, obviously, yeah. And it's a lot of work. So we're trying to stagger those out so this doesn't happen again. But our current ladder truck is a 2000 Pierce Dash. It's got a 100-foot platform on it. So it's got a climbable ladder, and on the end, there's a bucket. We're replacing it with something similar. The current one we have has a 1,500-gallon-per-minute pump on it. The new one is going to be a 2025 Seagrave Marauder II aerial scope. It's similar purpose, but definitely a way different design. Our current ladder truck, the ladder is actually mounted on the back of the truck. Our new one is actually mounted in the middle, so that's one big design change. And the other is that our new one has what's called a box boom design. So instead of an actual climbable ladder, it's more of the easiest way that I can describe it, it's more of a concept of a crane. So there is a big box boom that extends the bucket in and out, and then there's a ladder on top of that. Most people aren't going to notice the difference, but to us, it's a big deal. Some other cool things about the new truck, it has a larger pump, so it'll pump 500 gallons more per minute. It's got a stainless steel cab and body, so over the life of the truck, we shouldn't have any corrosion issues. And then one of the other things, again, that most people won't notice or really probably doesn't make a difference for them is that because of the design of this truck, the lifting capacity is significantly improved. So we can actually lift up to 5,000 pounds with the main boom of this truck. Currently, that's right around 500 pounds. And so this is extremely, extremely strong. The other cool thing is that our tip load, what we can actually put in that bucket is going to be double. So it's going to go from 500 pounds at 1,000 gallons a minute to 1,000 pounds. And again, that's very important when we're talking about, doing a rescue out of a window or something and having the capacity to do that, have the rescuers in the bucket and those that we're rescuing.
Yeah, that's terrific. So you'll get this on Monday, and hopefully there won't be any need for a ladder truck between now and then.
Yep. So our current one, it served us well in the last couple of years. We've had lots of issues with it. It's again being repaired right now, and so we're just working through that. But we're going to go do the final inspection on Monday, June 16th. Hopefully everything goes well, and we're told it will be in Beaver Dam by the 28th, the latest. Reason for the little gap there is we do the inspection. If we find anything that that we don't like, or maybe doesn't meet the specifications that we've put out, or that we look at and we need changed, that gives them time to do that. If we don't find a lot, it might be here a lot sooner than that, but that's the tentative plan right now.
Okay, and then this was manufactured right here in Wisconsin?
It is. It's actually manufactured up in Clintonville at Seagrave. So they are the, I believe they're the oldest manufacturer of, still running manufacturer of fire apparatus in the United States. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Just up the road.
Just up the road.
So to speak, relatively speaking.
Yeah, we're actually really spoiled in Wisconsin. I mean, we have several of the largest manufacturers in the nation of fire apparatus. And so that's great because most people need to, if they want to visit visit a manufacturer. They need to get on an airplane, travel halfway across the country. We can make a phone call, and we are, you know, a two-hour drive away from whether it's Pearson Appleton or Seagrave, Marion Body Works. I mean, they're all over the state of Wisconsin, so it's really a great thing.
Terrific. Anything else that you're looking forward to in the future to come?
No. I mean, summer is here, so I'm excited about that. Taking a little time off, spending it with the family, and we're playing a lot of baseball this summer with my son, and we're ready for summer in our house, I think.
That's right. And just to recap, right now the GIS study is happening on the future facility needs for the city's fire departments. We'll get to the bottom of whether or not the recommendation will be one building or two buildings, and if it's one or two, where those buildings should go. Sounds like maintaining the current station would probably be putting good money after bad.
Yeah, and I think that's a good way to describe it. And they're just looking at some of the challenges that would be faced. They're significant. And again, if we're gonna spend the money, I'd like to spend the money on something that's gonna last, 75 years, as opposed to spending the same amount of money and having something last 25 years. So we got to make sure that whatever path we take, we're being responsible about it. And in setting up the next generation of the members of the fire department to serve the community in a good position where they don't have to deal with some of the issues we have now.
I would just guess that summertime has got to be the most challenging time of the year for a firefighter. Is that an accurate assumption on my part?
Yeah, so we, interestingly enough, we see, usually I should say see, because again, emergencies happen all the time and we can't predict when they're going to happen. But people are more active, they're out and about, so it's not uncommon to see more accidents. People are often celebrating the holidays, or the holidays and 4th of July, stuff like that. So we usually, around those times, see an increase in the usage of alcohol, which often ends up with more accidents. So summertime is busy for us. The other component is that we're not like unlike anybody else, and a lot of our employees like to take time off, and most of them take time off when the weather is nice. So people are either from our paid on call staff, they're either out of town, maybe going on vacation, spending time with family. And so not only is it usually busier, but usually we have a few less staff around at that same time. So sometimes it's challenging, but that's why we plan for those things. We have agreements with neighboring departments to mitigate all that stuff. So we're always in a good position to get the job done, but it definitely presents challenges.
The time has flown by. We want to thank Fire Chief Mike Wesley for being with us on Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.